alpha dog. I love that.
Welcome to the Alpha Dog Capital Deal Flow Channel. This is where we talk about alternative investments that you cannot find on Wall Street. Listen and learn about deals, funds, syndications, and business ventures. We are not investment advisors, and we do not give investment advice, but we do talk about investments you may want to consider. Don't forget, always do your own due diligence. Welcome to another edition of the Alpha Dog Capital Deal Flow Channel. And today I have Larry Hoffman as my guest, and we're going to be talking about buying notes. So Larry, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Yeah, John, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it. My name is Larry Hoffman. I am the managing member of LJH Investments. I buy performing and non-performing notes across the United States, and I offer my partners above average returns secured by real estate.
Okay, well, that sounds great. For those that don't know what it means to buy notes, what is that all about? What does it mean to buy a note?
Well, yeah, it's when I say notes, it encompasses mortgages. So whenever you have a mortgage on a home, typically, you know, like the big banks, like the U.S. banks and the Fifth Thirds and things like that, they'll create these notes and then they send them off, sell them off to government agencies like, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and then, you know, they sift and sort what they want, and then they ultimately push that out to the secondary market, you know, like the hedge funds picks them up, and then, you know, once they actually get on the secondary market, that's where I come in. People like me, we actually buy these mortgages. To clarify a little bit more on that, with the mortgages, with these notes, it's really talking about just not only the mortgage, but also the promissory note that goes along with it. The mortgage is the lien on the property, and the note is what gives you the right to collect that payment.
Okay.
So when I buy these notes, I'm really buying the mortgage and also the promissory note.
Okay. So for like on the homeowner side, you know, we want to really talk to investors in our audience, but let's just imagine there's a lot of people listening that are new to this, but they're homeowners and they have a mortgage. Everybody pays a mortgage.
Right.
So how would that work? You know, I've got a mortgage with a company, and how can you buy the mortgage? What are the factors that make a note available to an investor like you?
Well, yeah, and that's a very good question. And that's where I was talking about. Usually, like with the bigger banks, like the Freddie Mae, or I'm sorry, like the U.S. banks, you know, like the Fifth Thirds, you typically don't buy notes from them because when they sell them, they sell thousands of them, just not one. But you know, I do have a contact at a national bank that I'm able to buy commercial notes off of. But ultimately, though, with these mortgage notes, like I was initially saying, they typically just don't sell off one. But when they do sell them, they will sell them to these hedge funds, and then these hedge funds, they cherry pick what they like, you know, what they want, and then they put these out in the rest of the notes in the secondary market, and then that's where we actually come in and actually buy them. So, you know, oftentimes I'll get a lot of people that's newly originating a loan, like a real estate investor, that they often come to me and they say, hey, you know, I know that you buy notes. Would you be interested in buying this note for, you know, $100,000 that they're going to structure it? And what I typically do is when they do come to me and ask me those questions, then, you know, there's a series of things that I need. One, it needs to be originated by a residential mortgage loan originator. They have to have a credit score better 650 or better. And I like to see at least 10% down. So that way that just makes that note a little bit more stronger, right? So when I go to buy it, I can give them top dollar for it. If that makes sense. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. So let's think of an example. Like if you're going to buy a note, what's are you getting it at a discount? Where
I am,
you're buying it for less than what's owed on the mortgage. Is that?
Oh yeah, for sure. So for example, you know, if you have a, and this is where you it gets into like performing and non-performing. And so if it's a performing note, people typically, other note investors are typically looking for par. When I say par, that means, you know, full asking price, right? So, and that's why, you know, like the big banks, when they sell these thousands notes off, they're selling them at par or even a little over par, because, you know, that bank, like the US Bank, the Fifth Third Bank, they've already made their money, like with the origination and everything like that. So they're just, you know, recapitalizing their money. So, you know, when you sell these things, you know, oftentimes when I buy them, like a performing note, when somebody is saying par, it typically won't work for me just because of the yield that I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. And then especially with non-performing notes, these are notes that the borrower hadn't paid in, you know, 6 months, 2 years. I actually just bought a series of 94 non-performing notes that are seriously delinquent. And so when you buy these notes like this, you can buy these things with just pennies on the dollar. So you get a substantial discount on them.
Okay, so let's come up with an example. Say, you know, there's somebody that owns a $400,000 house. It's worth $400,000, but they have a mortgage of $200,000, and they're not paying it. They haven't paid it in 4 or 5 or 6 months, whatever. But it's, yep, from your perspective, well, it is a non-performing note. Give me an example of what could happen, or what kind of price could you get on a $200,000 mortgage, and what kind of yield would you get on something like that compared to maybe they're paying an interest rate of maybe 4%, let's say, or 5%.
That's the thing, right? So if you did have that scenario of a $400,000 home, they have a $200,000 mortgage with a 4% interest rate, that 4% is so low, right? And even if a lot of times with these non-performing notes, because the equity is so much in that deal, even on these non-performing notes, the seller of this note is pretty closely looking for par, where they're, you know, they're probably looking at like 80, 85 cents on the dollar.
Okay.
That's not me. But in this particular example, you know, $400,000, $200,000 UPB, unpaid principal balance, 4% interest rate. You know, I like to make at least like a bare minimum of 13%. So that $100,000, I am going to severely discount that. So, you know, I'm probably looking at about $85,000-$90,000, offering on that in order just to make that yield. And so, and that's where with my strategy on buying these non-performing notes, it's not to take them back. I do not want that. The foreclosure is the very last thing that I want to do. So my goal is to actually get in there and do a loan modification with them and actually keep them in the property. So, but you do have people that, you know, they just bury their heads in the sand, and unfortunately you do have to foreclose on them. Or, you know, you try to do a work something out, you know, deed in lieu, cash for keys, in order to circumvent going the foreclosure route.
Okay. So can you give me an example of then, like, what would the scenario be on a note where that's going to yield you 13% or higher? How do the numbers work on that? Or how, you know, the example I gave you just doesn't work for you, but give me an example of what would work.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll pull out this calculator, but let's just say, hang on a second. Let me pull up this 10 BII and I use, you know, 10 BII, Hewlett-Packard calculator. So let's just, you know, if they had, just say we had this $400,000 scenario, right? And they had an unpaid principal balance of 200,000 and your example is 4%. And let's just say 360 months, what they initially set out for. So their payment on $200,000 at 4% would give them a payment of $954.83. So that's just the principal and interest payments. So, let me back up. So really, it started out at $400,000, right? So let me.
Yeah, that's the value. The property.
Yeah, Yeah, and that's where, you know, I guess you also have to figure, you know, if the property value, did they buy that, you know, $400,000 or did they buy that $350,000? So, okay, right. But let's just say, you know, it's a $200,000 unpaid principal balance, right? With a 4% interest rate, a newly originated loan. And since I'm looking for a 13% yield, hang on a second. Let me clear this out here. So if I'm looking for a 13% yield, then like I said, but then you also have to factor out, back out the attorney fees and the due diligence costs that you have associated with it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you'll back out that, but initially right now, you're looking at about $86,000 is what, really probably about $84,000 is what I would offer in order to buy that note. But mm-hmm. like I said before, if it truly had all that equity in that property, they will be asking for 90% of the UPB. So if you're doing $200,000, just say times 0.85, that'll give you a purchase price, a UPB of $170,000. So that 4%, that only gets you a 5.4% yield. Right. I mean, and this is the other thing that a lot of people don't also take into account as well. That 954.83, oftentimes you have servicing costs a majority of the times. The private lender, or I'm sorry, the bank has to pay that. Me as the bank has to, you know, depending on who you use as a servicer, it can range anywhere from $15 a month to $35 a month to $90 a month if it goes non-performing. So you also have to take that into account. So let's just, instead of a non-performing note, so let's just assume the scenario that you were talking about, a $200,000 loan, 4%, amortized over 360 months gives you a $954.84 payment. But if you take into account that you have, you know, say $35 in servicing costs, so if you take that $954.83 minus, say, $35, and if you plug that in for the payment, your true yield, if the person selling the note is looking for 85% of the UPB, your true yield actually drops down to 5.07. And, you know, that is just not attractive at all. And that's why with these non-performing notes, you can get a really good yield, depending on, right, first how you buy it, if you're able to structure a loan modification and get them performing, you can really get a really nice yield. I'm getting a couple right now. In my self-directed IRA, I'm at about, like, if I remember, I think it's like 25% yield on my money. And they were non-performing. Mm-hmm. I got them performing and just did a loan modification. And that's why I love notes, you know.
Right.
They're really amazing.
It sounds like it's, to me, from my perspective, it's something that, you know, the learning curve of doing this well, like you do it, and what you know, you obviously, I don't know how long you've been doing this, but you have a lot of knowledge and experience right. doing it, obviously.
Right.
For somebody that's like maybe hearing this, that they have cash, they're thinking about doing it, what kind of is a learning curve? Or what I like to tell a lot of potential investors is sometimes it's better just to, you know, link up with somebody that's experienced right. like yourself and ride the wave together.
Yep.
So do you have opportunities like that for folks to connect with you and learn from you or invest with you? Or how does the investment, the mechanics of the investment work if people wanted to either do this on their own or with somebody like yourself?
Yeah, there's a couple different ways. I have people that are truly passive investors that are just truly passive. I have one. A really nice guy. And I mean, all of the investors that I have, but this one in particular, I've been, you know, setting up meetings with him. And he goes, Larry, I don't care. All I want is the passive, you know, I just want the money to deposit it. I don't need to have, you know, conversations. And right. so you know, I have people like that. Then I have other investors that, you know, we meet like on a quarterly calendar meeting where we just go over the assets, just make sure, you know, everything's looking good. I have programs from if you want to be actively involved or if you just want to be passive or if you truly want to be passive. I've even gone as far as just, you know, finding a couple of notes, truly solid performing notes, and just, you know, brokered the deal and just, you know, like made like $1,000, $2,000 on it and just sent it over to them. So that way they can just put that in their self-directed IRA.
Oh, I see. And then they control it completely. They,
yep.
they have to collect the, not the rent, but collect the payment and arrange for the servicing and all that.
And that's one of the things that I actually help them set. I'll set everything up with them. I actually, because this is a really like, if they're looking to really build their own portfolio and, you know, they don't want to, you know, just have like a little sliver of the pie. They want the entire pie. So I actually look at a note, evaluate it, do the due diligence on it, and then have this meeting with them. And then if they go, yep, I'm 100% in, but I want that one instead of me paying you to, you know, buy this thing, I want to own it in my portfolio. Then I'm like, okay, this is what we need to do. The next step is to set up the servicing information that you need to do. You know, get all that documentation filled out and I actually, fill it out for them. And then, you know, they sign it and, you know, make sure everything is correct. And then we send it off to the servicing company. And then, you know, we go ahead and just, buy the loan and then either, you know, I'll either close it in mine and then just sell it to them. But oftentimes I'll just, you know, we'll just close it in them and then I'll just get a brokerage fee for it. But
okay.
I would say 99% of the, my investors are either like passive or we do a JV. So essentially what I do is anything from $250,000 down, you know, I just offer them just simple interest. Anything from $250,000 above, we just do a straight joint venture. And then that's when you do the joint venture, that's when you're really getting into the large double digit returns.
Okay. I see. If somebody wanted to, you know, learn more about what you do, how you do it, I actually have two questions. So let me go to my question that I forgot, and then we'll get to how can people connect with you. What are the risks involved in doing this? You know, so you buy a note and it's non-performing, whatever it is. What's kind of the risk profile of buying notes?
Well, yeah, very good question. The risk is, you know, losing your money, right? That's why it's really, really, really important on doing the due diligence on that asset. That's why, you know, either when I'm buying it or if somebody comes to me and says, hey, you know, I like to deploy $100,000, then I'll take the same initiative that I do with my own stuff, like I do with theirs. You know, I order a BPO, I order a title, I make sure that the taxes are paid. You know, look at the utilities. I call, you know, I look at the, you know, the area that see what kind of crime rate there is. So I do a lot of due diligence on that property. But it's like anything, right? Investing is risky. And that's one of the great things about notes is if something does go to pot, so to speak, you know, you do have legal action against them. So for example, if somebody deployed $100,000 and they had this performing note that was solid for like it was a 30-year mortgage. We bought it, say, with 20 years left. And then 5 years into it, you know, something happened and, you know, they just buried their heads in the sand and, you know, you have to foreclose on it. That's the one neat thing about it is if you bought this note right, you're going to be protected that you're going to be able to foreclose on them and then get your initial investments back. Right. Mm-hmm. So you just really want to make sure that you're not upside down in the overall transaction, meaning that the value is worth more than what the UPB is. And that's why it's vitally important just to make sure that you do your own, don't rely on other people's BPOs. you need to order your own BPO. You need to check the title. You need to check the taxes, call the utility companies. Just verify that that property is there, is, you know, and is standing. I've seen tapes come over to me where they say, you know, the property is there, but when you look at it, it's just land, right?
Okay.
So you just have to make sure that you do your due diligence. But risk wise, you know, it is investing, and that, you know, I always tell people not to invest money that they're not prepared to lose.
Right.
You know,
so are you doing this mostly on single family houses? Is that the bulk of what you're doing? It's not commercial. We're not talking about commercial property necessarily.
Yeah, no, I have a couple of commercial properties, but primarily single family residents. And also I've been buying a lot of land notes as well.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm really familiar with the single family house space. And I like to tell investors that, like you said, you could lose all your money in any investment, you know, you could lose all your money, but with the proper due diligence, it's unlikely you will lose your capital because A, B, C, D, and E, and you know, that you know what those are. And, that's the thing I think people should be aware of, that when they go into an investment, they need to be aware that their due diligence is comprehensive.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You know, it's vitally important, like you're saying, you know, to do your due diligence. And that's why I love notes. And also, you know, like, you know, what you're doing, you know, rehabbing the properties and things like that, it's secured by real estate. Mm-hmm. So if something happens, if the borrower, you know, stops paying and unfortunately you have to foreclose on them, you just take the property back, and then, you know, then that's when it becomes an REO, real estate owned. And then you make the decision, okay, am I going to keep it? Am I going to do an Airbnb? Am I going to fix it up and sell it? Am I going to keep it as a rental? Do I keep it as a Section 8? There are so many different opportunities that you have with this. And like I said, you know, it's secured by real estate. You know, it's not like an unsecured, you know, debt. I know people buy credit card debt, and you know, that to me, that's risky. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. I like having a tangible asset that's fixed to some money. So if something happens, I can just take that property back and sell it or keep it as a rental.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Larry, I know we're up against a time, a time issue here. If somebody wanted to contact you, and you could email some of this to me later or shoot me a text, what's the best, do you have a website or an email address you want to mention, or, you know, social media, anything in particular that people can get a hold of you?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can just go to my website. It's ljhinvestments.com. And there it'll have all my contact information. And if somebody's interested, you could just definitely reach out to me. And or you can go to talkwithlarryhoffman.com, and then that'll go to a Calendly link. And then that way you can just schedule like a 30-minute call with me.
That sounds great. Larry, if you can send that to me in a link, I'll include that on the show notes. So anybody listening can go to the show notes and click on those links and contact you. So
I appreciate
your time today. And is there anything that I forgot to ask you that you'd like to mention, or anything that's a burning, point that you didn't mention yet? I want to give you a chance to.
100%. Everything that I've say, you know, always check with an attorney, you know, run that by, and anybody that you do business with, either coaching, mentoring, courses, whatever, always, always, always do your due diligence on that person. Just do a real quick Google search, do a Better Business Bureau search. And then also, if you can determine the county that they live in, just go to the recorder's office or the clerk's office and find out information for that on that particular person. Because, you know, you definitely, everybody's going to say, hey, you know, I can give you this or I can give you that. And, you know, you need to do your own due diligence as well. And just don't blindly hand people money.
Larry, that's great. Great feedback and insight and advice. So thanks again for joining me. And I'll see you on social media, I'm sure. And,
yep.
We'll talk another time.
I appreciate it, John. Thanks.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye.